middle with the car disturbance. Okay, must be 5 o'clock, is it? I didn't have my watch. I don't have a table either. A table would have been useful. Okay, let's get going. Is it 5 o'clock?
Yes.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today I'm going to speak on Paramarthik Bhugol. That is the title of a series of articles that appeared in the Gaurīya magazine of the Gaurīya Math at the time of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Paramarthik means spiritual and Bhugol means geography. So there would be articles on especially places that he would visit and the spiritual importance of those places, drawing on incidents from the Puranas and from history. And also one of the several books that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wished to write or see written was called Paramarthik Bharata, Spiritual India, describing about many holy places. So I'm speaking from a holy place called Meenangadi, which I'm pretty sure none of you have heard of, except unless my disciple Naikatma Prabhu, who is in Dubai, but he's from this area, he knows. Otherwise, who would have heard of it? Even when I came to this place, I didn't know it was a holy place. I came to this place on the recommendation of others for Ayurvedic treatment, which is now finished. And now I'm supposed to more or less rest for some time to let the treatment have its effect. So I didn't know this was a holy place. I didn't even know the name of the place. And it didn't click until I was told that there is a Matsya Avatar temple here, which I was eager to visit, because I hadn't visited a Matsya Avatar temple before. And I wasn't aware that any existed in India. But having come here and consulted the Sarvagya, it seems almost, all-knowing internet, I found out that there are a few other Matsya Avatar temples. One is in South Bangalore, so I hope next time or in one of the upcoming times that I visit Bangalore, I can visit that temple. So Matsya, another name for Matsya, is Meena. These are two words in Sanskrit which both mean fish. And that term Meena comes up in the Dashavatar Stotram of Sri Jayadev Goswami. Matsya Dev is the first, chronologically, of the 10 avatars who are listed, who are especially remembered. Of course, as Srimad Bhagavatam states, avataram hi asankhyam. There are unlimited avatars, but especially 10 have been mentioned for meditation upon. And the first is Matsya Avatar, who Jayadev Goswami in his Dashavatar Stotram, which comes at the beginning of his celebrated Gita Govinda, he praises Matsya Avatar as Pralayapayo Dhijale Dhritavana Sivedam Vihita Vahitra Charitram Akedam Keshava Dhrita Meena Sharira Jai Jagadisha Hare. So Pralayapayo Dijale, in the water of the ocean at the time of destruction, he held or he rescued the Vedas, held up the Vedas, saved them from destruction. And Vihita Vahitra Charitra, he exercised or manifested the pastime of becoming something like a boat. This is comes in biblical literature as something like Noah's Ark. And there are many, even all over the world, there are stories similar to the Noah's Ark story, or similar to the story of Bhagavan Vishnu became like as a fish. He protected all the living beings. The pastime of becoming something like a boat giving shelter. Charitram akhedam. Akhedam means without regret, without lamentation. So we find in the description of the Matsya avatar in Srimad Bhagavatam that Parikshit Maharaj expressed to Shukadev Goswami great astonishment. How can the Lord, Supreme Lord, take the form of a fish? Because the form of a fish is always full of misery and the greatest ignorance. But of course, Shukadev described to Parikshit that the Supreme Lord, whatever form he takes, it is fully transcendental. When he takes the form of a hog, usually the form of a hog is condemned, but this form, Varaha, is glorified. So, Akedam. And then Keshava Dhritamina Sharira. Keshava, Krishna, has the form, he's assumed the body of a fish. So Matsya and Meena, they are synonyms of what we call in English a fish. And this place is called Meenangadi. I'm just in the hills just outside the small town where that temple is. Now, I asked the priests at the temple about the history of this temple, and they didn't really know very much, except that they said there were rishis meditated and they saw four tanks or something. They didn't seem to know much about the story of Satyavrata, who is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, we'll work talking to them through a translator in this area. Apart from the local language, Malayalam, not much English or even Hindi is known. So there used to be a large stone temple, huge traditional stone temple, of which just in the area there's just some big stone left over. Otherwise, there's no sign of it. It was destroyed by the Mughals. It's another instance of the Mughal contribution to civilization. Another place that they destroyed. They're uplifting the cultural life of humanity by destroying so many architectural works and libraries, which are the manifestations of humankind's rising higher consciousness, and they think they have to destroy it all. Anyway, they destroyed that, and now just 25 years ago, this present temple was established, although we weren't allowed to take photos inside, which is the norm in most temples in South India. Kerala's in South India. The form of the Lord is of four-handed Vishnu. There's no particular iconic depiction of him as being fish-like. Now, I spoke with some people from this area, and we've seen a lot of rain in this area. Just now, the last couple of days, there's been no rain. Otherwise, since we came here just over 2 weeks ago, there's been a lot of rain, and this is post-monsoonal, so it's not just from the monsoon. So I thought that's very suitable for Matsya Avatar to come to a place where there's a lot of rain. But I had some doubt, because we always heard that Kerala was created by Parashuram, that he threw his axe from Gokarna, which is in North Karnataka, in the present political boundaries of India. Gokarna comes in that Uttar Kannada district, which is in Karnataka, and he threw it all the way down to what is now the capital of Kerala, Thiruvananthapuram, which is also an important holy place of the deity of Anantapadmanabha. So this created the land which is now known as the, the southern part of it is known as Kerala. So I had a little thought, but then I thought, well, this is the hilly area that we're in now, this Meenangadi. So this must have been, this is not part of the Parashuram Kshetra, not the part that Parashuram created. This must have been here before, because Matsya Avatar comes before Parashuram. Matsya, in the Dash Avatar, chronologically, the first is Matsya Dev, the fish form. And Parashuram comes in at number 6. So quite some time later, Parashuram. So I discussed with some local people, and they seemed to... they corroborated this, that actually, although Malayalam is now the state language, but previously this was part of Mysore state. During the British time, or up to the British time, the configuration of the states in India was very different to what it is now, and this being in the northeast of Kerala was part of the expansive Mysore state, much of which got merged into Karnataka, and then part of it went to Kerala, and probably part went to Tamil Nadu. So there we have a little paramarthic spiritual geography. I said I was very happy to come here, because I hadn't seen or heard of a Matsya temple before. I visited all of the... Now I visited all of the temples of all the 10 avatars, except Kalki. And I also didn't know that there were any Kalki temples until I consulted the internet again and found that in Jaipur, Rajasthan, there's a Kalki temple. Nothing to do with Kalki's appearance. Not that Kalki appeared there. According to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that will be in the Kurukshetra area. So when he was in that area, he said this is the area where Kalki will appear. There is in Punjab some cult of Kalki worship. I know because Krishna Das Swami, who was an ISKCON sannyasi, was from that area, and he's passed away now, but he was much attached to the worship of Kalki. So I used to see in the temple in Coventry in England, where he had inspired some devotees to start an ISKCON center, that they always keep the picture of Kalki there. And of course we have, he was quite popular some time ago now, he's not so popular now, some so-called Kalki avatar, some self-made Kalki avatar from Tamil Nadu, but he's just a nonsense, we don't care about him. There is a Kalki temple built by Maharaj Jai Singh, who is the founder of Jaipur. The city is named after him, and the most famous temple there, of course, is that of Sri Sri Radha Govinda. Still the life and soul of at least the Hindus of Jaipur, and there are several other Radha Krishna temples that were established in Jaipur city to harbor the deities who were taken away from, again, the cultural contributions of the Mughals, who thought that it's a great act of piety to destroy temples.
Hare Krishna. So,
otherwise, I've been fortunate enough to visit temples of the various avatars here in India. Now Matsya, the first. Matsya, number two avatar is Kurma, the tortoise incarnation. The only temple that I know of dedicated to him, ancient temple also visited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kurumakshetra, near to Srikakulam in North Andhra Pradesh. That was visited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shortly after he started his foray into South India. And it's described there was a Brahmana also by the name Kurma, who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu famously instructed, Jare Deko Tare Koha Krishna Upadesh Amaragya Guru Hoya Taro Edesh. Whoever you meet, whoever you see, instruct them in the science of Krishna. In this way, become a guru and deliver this land. So that Kurmakshetra temple is very lovingly, devotedly, the deity there, made of many, many shalagram shilas, is lovingly served by Vaishnava brahmanas of the sampradaya of Sri Ramanuja Acharya. And actually, most of these deities of the Dashavatar, there are temples served by the Sri Vaishnavas. So Matsya Kurma Varaha, the Adi Varaha temple is there in Kanchipuram. So that's one I visited. Apparently, Varaha was much more worshipped previously. Used to be associated with kingship, but the worship of Varaha Dev has declined. We may pray that with the spreading of the Krishna conscious movement throughout the world, there'll be more and more consciousness of the Keshava Dhritta Dashavidha Rupa, the Supreme Lord who has appeared in 10 forms, and there may be more worship of Varaha Dev. And the fourth avatar is Narasimha. And of course, there are many temples of Narasimha, especially in Andhra Pradesh and Telangana, the Telugu-speaking, and in Tamil Nadu. Probably the most famous Nrsimha deity in the world at the present time is that worship by devotees in Mayapur, ISKCON Mayapur. At least his form we'll find all over the internet. And the painting that Srila Prabhupada commissioned by Jadurani Devi Dasi of Nrsimha Dev, absolutely ripping to pieces Hiranyakashipu in the divinely violent Nrsimha, that's also quite popular there on the internet. So there are many temples of Nrsimha, and he is being worshipped even in Germany. And by devotees throughout the world, many worship Nrsimha Shilas. Not so many as worship Gaur-Nitai, but the worship of Nrsimha Dev is well established. Within ISKCON throughout the world, we honor and worship Lord Nrsimhadev daily in chanting the fourth verse for the fourth avatar from the Dashavatara Stotram, Keshava Dhrita Narahari Rupa. So these first four avatars, they appeared in the first yuga, Satya Yuga, and Vamana Dev appeared in Treta Yuga. Now, of course, Bali Maharaj was the grandson of Prahlad, but nevertheless, Narasimha appeared to protect Prahlad in the Satyayuga, and it was by the time Vamanadeva appeared to punish Bali Maharaj, divinely punish Bali Maharaj. Already Treta Yuga had come around and sacrifices were very important. Bali Maharaj was performing a sacrifice and Vamanadeva appeared in the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj, the facsimile of which is there at the place known as Bharuj, which is derived from the word Bhrigu Kach, which is means the place where the descendants of Bhrigu were forming sacrifices. That is now that is in Gujarat on the bank of the Narmada River. It was on the bank of the Narmada River in the heavenly planets that Vamanadeva appeared. But the facsimile of the Narmada and of Bhrigu Kach is there in Gujarat. And there is a small, not very well-known Vaman temple there. And I'd personally like to see a gorgeous temple of Vamana established in Bharuj. And let the people of the world come, and at least the local people bow their head to Vamanadeva. We may not be in a position to do that very soon, but that may be some future desire to be fulfilled. There's also a temple of Vamanadeva that I know of and I visited in Kanchipuram. Again, Kanchi is such an amazing holy place with so many. Is it 12 Divya Deshams in Kanchi and in the area? Plus the Ekambareshwara, massive Shiva temple is there. So in that very special place of Kanchipuram, very intimately linked also with the pastimes of Sri Ramanuja. So Vamanadeva is there. What a big form he took. So he's a big deity. From our perspective, quite big, with his one foot raised up toward the heaven. So Vamana is there, and then Parashuram is the sixth avatar, and I'm just talking about my own transcendental geography visit, transcendental places visited by myself. My own experiences of the transcendental geography of this sacred land. Deep down in the south of the Parashuram Kshetra, I already mentioned Tiruvananthapuram, which is famous for the Padmanabha temple. There's also a temple of Parashuram there, and there may be others also, and another famous place connected with Lord Parashuram is, of course, Kurukshetra. And now, on Srila Prabhupada's order and in fulfillment of his desire, an ISKCON center is coming up in Kurukshetra to celebrate what is most famous there is the speaking of Bhagavad Gita by Krishna. Although, of course, it's famous also for Parashuram making lakes of blood, and also for Krishna's going there and meeting the residents of Vrindavan. So Parashuram's place is there at Mahishmati on the bank of the Narmada, way upstream from Bharuj. So then the next avatar is Ramachandra. And of course there are many, many temples of Ramachandra, hundreds and thousands of temples of Ramachandra throughout India. And Srila Prabhupada also established Sita, Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman deities in Bombay. And he approved the doing so also in for ISKCON Center in Washington, D.C., the place of the ruler, the capital of the United States. So many temples of him. Now, who's the eighth avatar? Well, we have in Jayadev's Dashavatar Stotram. So we have Vamana, Parashuram, and Ramachandra in Treta Yuga. So there's four in Satya Yuga, three in Treta Yuga. Then in Dwarapa Yuga, there's Balaram, only if we take the version, which we certainly as Gaurya Vaishnavas do, we take the version of Jayadev Goswami. And Balaram temples, the temple of Balaram alone, old temple is there at Malpe, just on the coast, close to Udupi, that established by Sri Madhvacharya. And of course, Balaram is well established at Puri, along with Jagannath and Subhadra, and Srila Prabhupada established Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan. So by Srila Prabhupada's grace, my own personal journey to transcendental holy places has brought me to many temples of Lord Balarama. Not everyone accepts Lord Balarama as being the eighth avatar. In the Madhva Sampradaya itself, they like to say that there's Balarama and then Krishna, because they don't accept Buddha. So some say Krishna is the eighth avatar. That's quite common to accept that. That Krishna is the ninth, Balaram is the eighth. And then some accept Krishna, especially in Maharashtra, especially as Vithoba Vittal, who's Krishna, but there's their Krishna, their form of Krishna who they worship. And in Puri we'll find Jagannath is represented as the ninth form. Otherwise, Jayadev accepts Buddhadev, so depending on who we accept as the ninth avatar, we'll either get two in Dwarapa Yuga plus two in Kali Yuga, if we accept Krishna's... then we'll have two in Dwarapa Yuga and one in Kali Yuga if we accept Krishna as the ninth avatar. But if we accept Buddha as the ninth avatar, then we'll get one in Dwarapa Yuga and two in Kali Yuga, because Buddhadev appeared early in Kali Yuga. But some Vaishnavas don't like to accept Buddha. He's certainly a very unusual... If we think that Matsya and Kurma and Varaha and Narasimha, they're unusual in appearing in non-human forms, that Buddha can appear and nindasi yagya vidheraha shuti jata. He blasphemes the Vedas. What could be worse? This unusual avatar of Buddha. But the Gaurya Vaishnavas accept him. So if we accept him as the ninth, then we get two in the Kali Yuga. Temples of Buddha, we don't find much in India. At Bodh Gaya there is, and of course outside of India there are many in Sri Lanka and Thailand and throughout the world now. I've also in my travels visited many Buddha temples in Thailand and Sri Lanka, and Kalki is yet to come. So those of you who have the fortune to be born in or live in this transcendental land, it might not seem very transcendental, India, with its modernization and industrialization and materialism, but you can take advantage of the spiritual opportunities here. Visit holy places. When you go, chant the holy names of Krishna. Most of these holy places that I visit, and of course not famous holy places, wherever there's a temple then that's a holy place, or even anywhere can be converted into a holy place by chanting the holy names. But generally, I see that everywhere when we perform Harinam Sankirtan, in most places, the local people, the local priests, the local devotees, visiting pilgrims, they're very, very happy. They're very inspired by that. They really welcome the chanting of the holy names. And ISKCON has a very good reputation here in India. One of the reasons is because we do regularly and publicly chant the holy names of Krishna. And that's so much appreciated. And that's becoming appreciated more and more all over the world. So let's go on chanting, bring the holy names to others. We're not tourists. When we visit all these holy places, not exactly like tourists, but we come to bow our heads to these various forms of the Lord's and to the holy places, in the dust of the holy places, and to remember all the great devotees who have been worshipping in these places from time immemorial. And as representatives of our acharyas and of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who taught us to bring the holy name everywhere. So the holy name is uplifting people all over the world who are completely away from Vedic culture. So why not here, especially in this sacred land? Let the holy name be spread everywhere, far and wide. Along with that, the books of Srila Prabhupada and the teachings of Krishna consciousness should be spread. I'm not sure whether the broadcast picks it up, but in the background, quite loudly in my ear, there's a kirtan going on, which will go on for a few days, chanting mostly the names of Narayana in an unsystematic way. They're singing all different names. Mostly names of Vishnu, sometimes Om Namo Shivaya, but it's interspersed with some glorification of Sai Baba. It's being done by people who identify themselves as worshippers of Sai Baba. So obviously they're very pious people. They have a pious inclination to chant their holy names, but due to lack of proper spiritual guidance, they accept Sai Baba to be the person who's, when they chant Narayana, they think that that's Sai Baba. So that pious tendency has to be encouraged, but also properly directed. So distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books is so important to let people know who actually should be worshipped, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead beyond Brahman, and beyond the not beyond Brahman, he is Brahman, he is Param Brahma, but beyond the impersonal conception of Brahman. I've just been reading a book on different religious movements in Bengal. This was written in the middle of the 20th century, and we can see how much they were influenced by ideas of public uplift, looking after the poor, building hospitals. They're very much influenced by the ideas of Christian missionaries, and that was taken up in a major way in Bengal by the Ramakrishna Mission, and it's gone deeply into the Hindu psyche that spiritual groups are meant to perform social and bodily welfare activities, which is not the actual concern of spiritual groups. Not that these activities should not be taken up, but it's not the idea that social activity is spiritual. That's all mixed up with the idea that man is God, and worship of man is worship of God. So we as followers of Srila Prabhupada, we may do social uplift, but only within the parameters given by Srila Prabhupada. That means we should establish communities with Krishna in the center, and in such communities there should be facilities for medical care and so on like this and that, but not that it's our duty to independently of such communities build hospitals so people can get their body in good shape to go back and join this Ugra Karma, hellish industrial so-called civilization. So we really need to, as along with chanting the holy names, in reviving the spiritual culture of India, we really need to have very clearly in mind the ideas that Srila Prabhupada gave. When I say the ideas that Srila Prabhupada gave, that means it's Krishna's ideas. Srila Prabhupada is completely in touch with Krishna. He's the external manifestation of the super soul. And we should very deeply imbibe Srila Prabhupada's ideas and act to implement them in the world, everywhere, all over the world. Krishna is meant for everyone, everywhere, not just for India. Make the whole world India. That was Srila Prabhupada's response to someone who spoke to him in Fiji. And make the whole world India in the sense that the whole world should be brought under spiritual culture. We have a lot of work to do. We can get inspiration from visiting these holy places. As Srila Prabhupada said about Vrindavan, what holy place can be more important than Vrindavan? Mayapur, Vrindavan, Puri, these three places are of particular importance to Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So Srila Prabhupada said about Vrindavan that Vrindavan is an inspiration and our real work is all over the world. So Srila Prabhupada went out from Vrindavan to establish Vrindavan all over the world. So let us do that by chanting the holy names, and gradually this whole spiritual culture can be introduced. And here in India also, that tendency towards spiritual culture can be properly directed to the lotus feet of Krishna, who has appeared, Keshava Dhritta, Dashavidha Rupa, who has appeared in 10 forms and unlimited forms, and most mercifully has appeared in Kali Yuga as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and as the holy name of Krishna, Nama Rupe. What is that? Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar, Nam Hoite Hoi Sarva Jagat Nishta. In the form of the holy name, in form of his own name, Krishna has appeared in this Kali Yuga. And by the holy name, the whole universe can be uplifted. Hare Krishna.